Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll begin with verse 21 and read through verse 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity to look into it this morning. Guide us and direct us in the preaching now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I'm sure you are very well aware, I have never been a mother. And that's just something that's very apparent. But I believe this. I believe every mother in this room would agree with the statement that I'm about to make. And it's this. Being a mother is a great privilege, but also a great challenge. Being a mother is a great privilege, but also a great challenge. I like the way that the late Irma Bombeck put it. She said, I've always told my children, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it every day. And I know by watching my own mother over the years and watching Pam with the kids, I know that this is true. Now, Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers, you know, for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces, and for all the old pieces of gum they held in their hand, and for all the noses they wiped, and for all the skin knees that they made well with a kiss. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night and driving kids to school when they miss the bus and enduring all the football games in the rain. It's Appreciation Day for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do and for not believing them when they said, I hate you, and sharing their good times and their bad times. And even though their cards probably won't reflect it, what they're trying to say is this, Mom, thank you for showing up. Thank you for showing up. Now, there are many women in the Bible who would provide excellent sermon texts for Mother's Day. I'm thinking of women such as Jochebed, the mother of Moses, or Hannah, the mother of Samuel, or Mary, the mother of Jesus. But today, I've chosen an almost unknown mother. As you've noticed, as we read, Matthew doesn't even give us her name. Now, we do know from the text that she had everything stacked against her, but she was a woman of great faith. And she exemplifies for all of us the kind of faith and prayer life that we should have, whether you're a mom or not, or whether you're male or female, whether you're a married person or a single person. And she was a woman who received an answer to her prayer. So I want you to look with me this morning as we consider three points here. Three points. First, we see a mother who revealed her problem. Now let's review it again. Let's look at verses 21 to 23 again. It says, "And Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him to send her away, for she crieth after us." There are many troubled mothers in the world. There are many mothers with broken hearts. There are mothers who are troubled because one of their children is suffering some terrible ailment or handicap or mental or physical or developmental incapacity. There are mothers trying to protect their children from the ravages of war and famine or disease or a poor environment in a drug-infested neighborhood. There are mothers with troubles in their marriages who are trying to hold things together for the sake of the kids. And it's tough. It's tough. And the mother in our text was also a troubled mother. Troubled because she had a desperate need. Now, she had other problems, I'm sure, but they seem small in comparison to the problem she was facing right then. There's no doubt she had faced many trials with her daughter before, both great and small, and like any mother, she knew what it was to be by the bedside of her sick child when she developed a high fever, and of course, in that day and time, without modern medicine, she undoubtedly had experienced the fear and anxiety that gripped parents when their children became ill, knowing that there's a good chance that this illness would kill their child. And you know, to all parents, all other problems seem small. They all pale in comparison to problems that come about with your children. But this woman was now facing a need that was greater than anything she had ever faced before. Something I doubt anybody in this building has ever been up against. Her daughter was demon possessed. And not simply possessed, but the woman told Jesus that her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, meaning that the demon tormented her mercilessly. You know, any problem a mother faces can be deeply troubling. But the most distressing of all parental problems is the devil's attack on our children. And that's why we must constantly pray for God to protect them from the sinful things which can allow the enemy to get a foothold in their lives. We cannot be with them 24 hours a day. And so they need constant prayer, because it's when they're not under our supervision and guidance that they are most vulnerable to attack. And make no mistake about it, Satan is out to get your children. He's out to destroy their lives through TV, through movies, through the internet. He's out to rob them of their innocence. In the music industry, he's out to destroy their moral compass and diminish their godly aspirations. On the streets, he's out to tempt them and enslave them with alcohol and drugs and pornography. And so they need our prayers. Now, as this woman came to Jesus, everything was against her. First, her ethnic background was against her. Verse 22 tells us she was a Canaanite. That is, she was a Gentile. And the Jews were terribly racist against all Gentiles, but Canaanites in particular. And then second, her gender was against her. The truth was, in those days, most Jewish rabbis paid little attention to women and treated them like children. And then third, it seemed that the disciples were against her. This woman came to Jesus by faith, and she would not give up. She basically made a pest of herself until the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to do something about her and send her away. And then, of course, her religion was against her. By religion, as a Canaanite, up until then she'd been a pagan, an idol worshiper, which might explain why her daughter was demon-possessed, since the religion of the Canaanites was particularly depraved. But on this day, there would be a change. There would be a change. Which leads to the second thing that I want you to see this morning. And that is a mother who remained persistent in prayer. A mother who remained persistent in prayer. Now, I know we read it, but can we go back and read it again just to make sure we have it in our mind? We read 22 and 23. Let's continue 24 through 27. And he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Notice that this woman came to Jesus with her problem. When my oldest daughter, Carly, was born, everybody talked about how much she looked like me, that her facial features looked like my facial features. Everybody talked about it. And when I took her to see my grandfather for the very first time, I'll never forget it, he's holding her in his arms. He looks at her face. Then he looks at my face. Then he looked at her face. Then he looked back at my face. And then he said this, blessed is the child who knows who its father is. Well, this morning I say this, blessed is the woman who knows where to go with her problems. When a woman has problems with her children, too often she goes to the wrong source for help. She goes to the latest secular child-rearing guru spouting the ever-changing psychobabble of our day, or she goes to talk show hosts on television. But praise God, this woman hadn't heard of any of those things. But she had heard about Jesus. And she had heard that not only could he heal the sick, and not only could he give sight to the blind, and not only could he make the lame walk again, but that all demons and all spiritual principalities and powers were subject to him. And so she came to the only one who could help her. And you stop and think about it, and the only one who can really help us with our children, ultimately, is God. He may use preachers or Christian brothers and sisters to point us back to Jesus in the Bible, but ultimately, Jesus himself is the answer. He may use Christian books and magazines to help direct us to Jesus, but at the end of the day, Jesus is the one who can solve our problems with our kids. And his book, the Bible, gives the right answers for rearing our kids properly. This woman, although she was previously a pagan unbeliever, she came to believe everything about Jesus. She believed he was the promised son of David. She said so in verse 22. She believed in his deity. She believed he was God. She called him Lord in verse 22, verse 25, verse 27. She believed in his power to answer her request. And she believed he was interested and would answer. And the question is, how about you? And by the way, these principles apply to fathers as well as mothers, to husbands as well as wives, to married people as well as single people. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you come to place your faith in Jesus Christ alone to save you and not your works or your goodness or your religion or your good deeds? Just as Jesus was the only answer for this woman's daughter's problem, he was also the only answer for her soul. and he is the only answer for your soul as well. Only he can forgive you of your sin. Only he can fill your heart with joy. Only he can give you peace of mind. Only he can give you assurance of heaven. Only he can provide you the strength to face life's greatest struggles. Now, think about the problems confronting this woman. Notice, for instance, that Jesus didn't answer her at first. Now, he didn't do that to destroy her faith, but to enlarge it, to draw it out of her. Her own replies showed that she was growing in faith. Jesus wanted to test the sincerity and the depth of her faith. And this Canaanite woman was unwilling to let Jesus go without an answer to her request, which is exactly what Jesus wanted to see. And then notice, as we mentioned, she faced the problem of insensitive disciples who wanted to send her away. But again, she would let nothing deter her. She came to Jesus with her request repeatedly, just proving the depth of her faith. And oh, that each of us as mothers and fathers would be parents of faith like that today. The kind of parent who comes to God for our need. The kind who will not give up praying and seeking God's face until he answers. The kind who prays and does it faithfully and without wavering and earnestly, just as this woman did with Jesus. Has it ever occurred to you that one reason God may not answer your prayers immediately is to test your faith and to test your earnestness and your fervency? Because the Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what's your prayer life like? How faithful and persistent are you in your prayers, especially for your children? Certainly something to consider. And so we've seen first a mother who revealed her problem to the Lord, and second, a mother who remained persistent in her prayers. And then let me give you the third one here and we'll finish up, and it's this. We see a mother who received a promise from the Lord. Look again at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that a beautiful thing? O woman, great is thy faith. Jesus said that to her. That's better than great is your beauty, or great is your wardrobe, or great are your professional achievements, or great is your community influence, or great is your house and furniture, interior decorating. You see, here is the perfect illustration of the 1 Peter chapter 3 woman. Now, I want you to turn with me there, 1 Peter chapter 3, because there we see characteristics of a godly woman. I just want to point out two verses to you here. 1 Peter chapter 3. And once you get to 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 3. It says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, let me stop there. And, of course, that is pointing out that these type of things are not supposed to be the main focus of a woman's life. Her main focus is not to be outward appearances. Now, it's not saying that any of these things in and of themselves are particularly wrong, right? There is nothing wrong with a woman having her hair done or wearing makeup or dressing nicely. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't preach against those kind of things. I know in the old days, boy, the old-timey preachers, they preached hard against women wearing makeup. I mean, it was a big deal. They preached hard against. I'm not like that. And that's probably because of the influence of my other grandfather, not the one who made the baby comment, but my Grampy John. I remember as a kid one day, now ladies, I don't mean to offend you with this, so please don't be, but I remember somebody asking Grampy John one time, I was standing right there, what he thought about women wearing makeup. And with a straight face, without batting an eyelash, he said this. He said, a fresh coat of paint on an old barn always makes it look better. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. That's what he said. And I don't know, maybe it's that influence, but I don't spend a lot of time preaching against those kind of things. But the point here is that these things are not to be the main focus of a woman's life. So what is supposed to be the main focus? Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Did you see those little words? The hidden man of the heart. That's the Lord. That's where a Christian lady's focus is to be, on the Lord. He's to be the center of her life. And by the way, may I just say that that same principle applies to everybody. Men, women, boys, and girls, as Christians, the Lord is to be the center of our life. It's that seek ye first the kingdom of God thing that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus didn't commend this woman for the adornment of her clothing or the style of her hair or the beauty of her makeup or the elegance of her jewelry. He said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. And notice the reward for her persistent faith. Back in Matthew 15, 28, Matthew says, her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her faith was rewarded. She came to Jesus. She would not give up. She had great faith, and Jesus honored her faith and honored her persistent prayer. So, what does God want you and I to take away from today's sermon? Well, first, let's start with the most basic question. How's your faith? How's your faith? Are you saved today? Have you come to God by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, to take upon himself the penalty that you deserved? Have you called out to Christ and received him as your Savior and Lord? If not, that's your greatest need. Now, this morning, after church, we're not going to have coffee hour. I mentioned it earlier. We don't usually do that on Mother's Day. We want everybody a chance to get home and hang out with Mom. But I'll be around for a little while. If you have any questions about that, about are you saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure your sins are forgiven? Come and see me. I'd be glad to sit and talk with you about it for a while. I'm not cooking dinner. The girls are. So I got time to waste after church. And so come and talk to me about that. But how's your faith? How's your faith? Are you saved? And then if you are a believer, if you are saved, how deep is your faith? How strong is your walk with the Lord? How real is your commitment to him? So that's the first question that comes out of all of this. How is your faith? The second question is, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Where do you go with your problems about your children or just at life in general? When you face life's problems, do you lean too heavily on your spouse or a counselor or a friend or a pastor instead of the Lord? Now, there's nothing wrong with sharing your burdens with others, but I'll tell you this, the greatest advice you will ever receive in dealing with your problems will come from God himself as you open up the pages of this book and study his word. And the greatest victories and the greatest blessings you will ever experience in your life will come when you take and you put into practice the things that are written in the word of God. And so we see in Matthew chapter 15 the need to come to Jesus with our problems about our children and with life in general. Because in the final analysis, he is the answer. He is the answer. He's the one who can give you peace in the storm. Now, one last passage of scripture, and we're going to be done. Matthew chapter 11. I'm not even going to make comments on it. I just want to read these verses to you. Matthew chapter 11, and the last few verses of the chapter. This is my invitation to you. If you're dealing with things in your life, problems you're having, or if you're in need of being saved, here's the answer right here. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to Jesus for the salvation of your soul. And come to Jesus for the answers to your problems.